I was sorry that Anthony was still in the hospital when I received the phone call and the request about my sermon. And I said, oh, just put whatever. But she didn't put whatever. She said, we shall wait and find out Sunday. I like that. That's sort of an introduction all the way around. I have to tell you that it was fun being here last week. It really was. It was fun being here last week. And I have to tell you, too, it was the best sermon I'd heard in a long time. But then you know I've always been proud of my humility, so it's no big deal that you hear that again. One nice thing about this business of retirement, which I still can't understand because I've been busier than I've ever been, is reading. And I have to admit, I've been reading some of these journals that I've been piling up here and there, and you know, I read this, and then someone will tell me, oh, did you read the book by so-and-so? It's a wonderful book. It's all about the church. I never really experienced the church in 60 years. So I'd get the book, and I'd read it. And I thought, Then someone would call and tell me, boy, did you hear what so-and-so said about so-and-so? Church gossip. Preachers love it. We really do. So I listened to what so-and-so said about so-and-so, and I said, well, I can agree with him. What do you expect an old preacher to say, for heaven's sake? Then all of the books are saying the same thing. We have a problem as a church. Look around you. We have a problem, don't we? Every denomination that I know of, except for a few, deal with the same thing. How do we get people excited about coming back to church? How do we do it? And of course, everybody has an answer, which is, I've heard it before. There isn't really anything new on the horizon. I can tell you that because, honestly, I've been at the horizon for a long time. But the interesting aspect of a couple of things that I read during the past week, one came from a Roman Catholic priest who's a chaplain at a home for retired nuns. That should be exciting. Anyway, I read his homily. We say sermon, they say homily. It was great. It really was. And he was talking about what they needed to do as retired nuns. Whoa! And he went on in that sermon, and he was quoting from a Broadway play and a Broadway musical, and he was, I thought, how neat! And then he said the closing challenge to those nuns sitting there in the pews, captivated, of course, by his preaching, I'm sure. He said, Saint Benedict wrote, let everyone be received as Christ. And then he added, as Christ received, as Christ is received, you should be like Christ. That's your challenge. That's your challenge. That was how he closed the sermon, the homily, excuse me. Let everyone be received as Christ. The other article that I read was, what's missing in the life of the church? Well, there are a lot of things, and these people would make all of the lists down, as you would too. We aren't as friendly as we should be. We aren't as open as we should be. We're also getting used to having everything broadcast on YouTube, where we can sit home and be comfortable. And I have to tell you, that second cup of coffee was very nice. I did do that. And yeah, the sermon was wonderful. They put me to sleep at home, just like at church. So let everyone be received as Christ. Matthew, the 10th chapter, reading from verse 37. Jesus is speaking. He said, "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he's a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Anyone who receives a righteous man because he's righteous will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he's my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Let everyone be received as Christ." A challenge that a retired priest was putting forth to retired nuns who'd serve Christ all of their lives, I'm sure of that. And here he was saying to them in no uncertain terms, your responsibility is because Christ is in you. You've got the job. You've, all of us together. All of the articles talk about the church, how it's going to survive and how it may not. I have to tell you, we really have a problem getting people interested, because one of the things that we're facing is we're too white-haired. We're comfortable coming. It's the Lord's Day. But there are a whole lot of people who don't agree with us. Really. I can get faith from the television set. Did you hear the sermon by... I heard some of them in between asking for money. But I didn't hear anything new, honestly. New. I didn't hear anything that excited me about anything related to Jesus Christ. I said to Barbara, after I listened to one of them, I said, "You know, we've been preaching all of these years, and we're still talking about the same darn thing, expecting results when we never got results to begin with." I said, last week, we have a messed up world. We have a messed up nation. We have a messed up state. We really do. One good advantage being a Christian, if you take it seriously, you never, never have orders to march backwards. Never. It's always forward, always a new opportunity, always a new day. Because you've got Christ in you. That should make it worthwhile. I'd like to excite the kids about how church is so exciting. Aren't you excited? It's true, isn't it? My grandson called me yesterday from Kuwait on Skype. Love Skype. I said, "How are things going, Adam?" He said, "Oh, they're doing." He filled me in on what's going on. He's a physician's associate, so he's running the clinic there at the base where they are. And he showed me pictures of the base, which was no treat. It was 7:30 at night when he talked to me, and it was also 140 degrees. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Sweating." And he said, "Grandpa, what's a good idea for chapel?" I said, "You're kidding me." He said, "No." He said, "We're in charge of chapel. We don't have a chaplain. And I'm playing drums." I said, "Well, who else is there?" And he said, "Well, we have someone playing the trumpet and a trombone." I said, "You've got a service. What else can I say in Kuwait?" They're informal. We are, really. I'm a creature of habit, believe me. But the excitement that he was talking about was that we are gathering together a group of guys here who just like to worship. I thought, you know, that's healthy. Maybe. We're so system controlled by Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays that we forget Sunday is a day of worship. But is it? Why can't Wednesday? Do you remember when church used to have services midweek? That was so that nobody would forget to come on Sunday. The church. The author, James Michener, you know, was a good friend of mine. He wrote a poem. He wasn't known for poetry, but he wrote a poem. And he was talking about the church, which was never a big deal to him because he thought the preachers didn't know how to preach. So he wasn't going to be bothered by Sunday morning. But he said, "The church is important." I said, "I agree. I better not disagree on that one." And he said, "How are you directing it?" And I said, "I'm just being me." And I don't know what else to tell him. So I read his poem. And I thought, you know, he's got more faith and substance than he lets on. He wrote that the church, going through its various battles over the years, and still going on today, should be for you an important part of your life, because the church, in terms of civilization, remains central. And it needs to refocus itself on being the central part of your life. my life. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of the little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he'll be rewarded. God, our Father, we're grateful for your love. We're grateful for your day, and we're grateful even more that you still challenge us to be better, stronger, and wiser than we think we are for Jesus Christ. Amen.